SBS Radio.
The form you see of this book, which you're finding hard to categorise, it's deliberate. We really didn't want it to be a history because there's a lot of people alive to tell this story. And a history book tends to say, well, this is all in the past and we can move on. And that's not really that is really not the situation for so many people who've been through institutions, as the Paragirls have. And also, this was an amazing collaboration that began at the call of the former residents of Parramatta Girls Home, who call themselves Paragirls, who many of whom are actually extremely creative, who have sought out or for whatever reason have this incredible vision to transform their experiences through their art practice. Some of this, you might say, is because of they had no voice No one was listening to them and their stories, so that they started to find another way to tell it.
I was browsing through the book and I saw some of the quotes in there, very, very powerful quotes and interesting quotes. They say when you go through that institution, it's actually you come out with a stigma and a lot of burden on your shoulders, and it's extremely hard to express yourself. So going through this project was actually a way for them to be able to relive their histories and retell their stories.
In some contexts, people might also put this in another box, which is a therapeutic approach. And because a lot of these people were sent into other institutions or were told that they weren't mentally well, and that was another stigma, you know, that the artistic practice was actually more about trying to regain a certain an identity in the world that wasn't just about the institution, that was a little bit separate from all of this stigma. So with art, you can start to actually tell stories and not actually be that person, if you know what I'm saying. People might say, well, this is an art project and not just a person who's a victim. So there's a different kind of sense of agency is a word that, you know, is used a lot in this context.
How many women altogether collaborated in this project?
We began over the years, you know, people came and they went. A lot of people came maybe a few times because they lived far away or they didn't feel, you know, they wanted to keep mining this particular experience because it's very hard for them. So over the years, you know, a couple of hundred women would have engaged with the memory project per se. However, Bonnie Jurek, who is the founder also of this organization, Paragirls, unfortunately she can't be with us today because she's been unwell, and she worked with two other women, one of who has now passed on, and third woman who's a scholar herself, all former residents, and they founded an organization called Paragirls in 2006. And that was before they had any way to get returned to the site. It was still being operated under corrections as a women's prison, most of the site, and the other site was actually closed to them. To answer your question, they've actually been in touch with a lot more women, and there's been a lot more women coming back also because of the Royal Commission
into
institutional responses to child sexual abuse.
Yeah.
Which was going on in the latter part between 2014 and 2017.
Yeah. And the women had an opportunity there to say something. I can quote Bonnie Jurek saying, "This is our own inquiry. These are our questions. For the authorities, their answers reveal the public secret." Public secret is the one expression that I retained out of this particular quote. You've worked with Bonnie for many years over on this project. Tell us exactly what she meant, because it's explained in the book, but it's better to hear it from your own voice.
Absolutely. So this was a part of a project in collaboration with Jenny McNally and Bonnie Jurek, and I was a kind of producer on that. So we talked at length about this issue that a lot of the women were experiencing at the latter end of the Royal Commission into Institutional Response to Child Sexual Abuse, of which Parramatta Girls Home was a case study, in meaning that they looked into it, and actually, in fact, some people have been charged as a result of that investigation by the police and the judiciary. Jenny McNally and Bonnie Jurek, basically, you know, Jenny McNally was both of them were witnesses in this inquiry, and Jenny McNally's featured in the case study herself. And they, whilst, you know, this was an as they went through it, it was an extremely important, as in most of these, many of these truth and justice sort of large-scale inquiries, judicial inquiries. Yeah. But the public secret, basically, is this term we came across, in fact, by anthropologists, to use a sort of, the context where there's been a large-scale social injustice, you know, criminal acts, actually perpetrated, in fact, as in a welfare institution by the state itself.
State-run sort of body,
sanctioned. Yeah. And it's welfare, it's meant to care, it's meant to kind of, the whole system is meant to be there to take children who are vulnerable or have been already abused or neglected and shelter them. And the contradiction of this is that the state did not execute its duty, and it covered up these crimes for decades and decades and decades. And the secondary level of that is you have an inquiry at this level, and in many of these inquiries in Australia, you will see them, you know, into Dondale Detention Centre. And every time one of these inquiries come around, the women are very familiar with this format. And it's as if they're caught up in the same kind of nation-state level of justice, you know. And yes, the commission of these was a very important inquiry, and justice, you know, was served at a certain level. But their own personal, the loss of their life, you know, as children, they went on through their life with nobody to help them through this.
Yeah.
And their trajectory was changed, and that could never be restored. And in a sense, their giving their testimony was another gift to the state to proceed with its own justice and the nation's sense of, you know,
justice.
But it's not restorative justice in the sense that for themselves, they came out of this actually feeling very stripped bare, exposed, and not that they're, the issues that they have, the fears that they have, were not addressed in this process.
When you say public secret, there's something that is this language that was used. You said, well, it was an institution, a welfare institution, and yet the children were criminalized because there are children who are neglected, and yet they find themselves behind bars in a way. And one of the expressions I found that was used, they were children exposed to moral danger. And then they expose them actually to actual mortal danger. They are actually in a situation where they are in real danger, removing them from neglect and then bringing them into an institution where there seems to be no care at all.
Yeah. I mean, this is a particularly sort of, if you look back through the history of Australia and other colonies, you have this kind of imposition. I'm sure you're aware of it, but the imposition of a certain kind of punitive justice, you know, like to correct this, you know, mortal problem of the bad seed, you know, bad generation, which was mixed in with a racial policy, let's be honest. In that institution that was originally, in fact, attached to the female factory, so they were taking the children of convict women in the first place. This is the very interesting thing that paragirls will tell you themselves. You know, I'm not an expert, I'm actually an artist who they brought in to try and transform their relationship to the public sphere.
So
in the public not wanting to know about this either, it's a very traumatic and deep-seated thing. And it's still embedded in our justice system today. We still have children being removed from their families.
There's a second wave of stolen generations because indigenous children are being removed at a very, very high rate, and history is repeating itself. And
Not being resolved is
not being resolved.
Cycle in a continuum.
And we also have the minimum age of criminal responsibility being very low, 10 years old, you can go to jail. And this is exactly what these kids were going through. And this institution, you mentioned Para Women's Factory, and there's so many names to describe this place. It's a Parramatta Girls School, Parramatta Girls Home, Parramatta. It's so many names and so many aspects. Can you unpack for us those names and their meanings and their different uses?
Yes. I mean, so these institutions, what you see on these sort of sites where there's been a continuum of a punitive welfare institutional approach where it starts with women who are transported, but it's suddenly the state feels it has a moral, early nation state feels it has a moral duty to shelter or give a refuge to these people. It's then it suddenly sees itself as having to also protect society from these people who they should also be protecting. So this contradictory state means that they have to keep reinventing themselves because with each name change, in fact, there was a form of judicial inquiry of the time under different guises. And basically they closed down this, place of, you know, where unseemly acts were being perpetrated against these children, but then reopened it under a new name.
Tell us what you think. Like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter.